The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parasha is Parasha Shlach Lecha. I rabbi Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anoshim v'yosur es Eretz Kanan. Send for yourself men who will spy out Eretz Kanan, the land of Israel, Asher ani neisein livnei Yisrael, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. Ishot isha chod l'mata v'esel tishlocho kol nosi v'hem. One person from every tribe you shall send, every nosi, every leader of the tribe shall send. Now this sentence takes place not long after the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah, which was 7 weeks after the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, they stayed at the foot of Har Sinai, of Mount Sinai, for approximately 1 year. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. They would have gone into Eretz Yisrael immediately within 3 days, but in last week's Sedra there were a few episodes that delayed this. At any rate, they were still ready to go into Eretz Yisrael not long afterwards. And had this episode of the Meragli, of these people who went to spy out the land, had not taken place, then the time from the going out of Egypt to the entering of Eretz Yisrael would have been very short. But because of what took place, that the people went in the land, and they came back with a report, an unfavorable report of Eretz Yisrael, and they started to undermine the confidence of the people, and they said, let's like a new leader, and we'll go back to Egypt. And why did we come? Did we come in order that we should die in the desert? We will not be able to conquer the land, and so forth. This created one of the greatest tragedies in the history of Klal Yisrael. Not only for them, but forever. Because, firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, then you will not go. You will die in the desert. So this caused the wandering in the desert for 40 years, an additional 39 years, until that generation entirely died off and their children went in. Secondly, Tishu B'Av, the ninth of Av, which is the national day of mourning, because for generations national calamities have taken place, came about because of the Meragli, the spies. Because when they went, it was just before Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and they spied out the land for 40 days. When they came back, it was Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. And that night, the whole nation wept, or much of the nation wept, because they said, here we're stuck in the desert. We can't go into the land. We cannot conquer it. We cannot go back. And they wept. And of course, Baruch Hu said, Atem beichim b'chiya shel chinom. Atem b'chisa b'chiya shel b'chinom. You are weeping for no reason, because I've already promised that the land you will have and the land you will conquer. L'chein kevi ani lachem b'chi l'deiris. Therefore, this night, I shall make for you weeping for generations. And Tishu B'Av, which became the day of national calamities throughout history, came from this episode. And thirdly, we can go even further. Originally, this is something we've mentioned several times before, originally, the plan, the divine plan was that the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bias HaOretz, the going out of Egypt and the coming into Eretz Yisrael, was one act. And just as they came out with great nisim b'yad Ramah, great miracles, so should they go into Eretz Yisrael. And just like the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim could never be reversed, so the going into Eretz Yisrael could never be reversed. and the Maral, the Prague, and the Sefer Netzich all writes that had not for this episode, then this plan would have been carried out. In one sweep, there would have been the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and the Bias Oros coming into Eretz Yisrael, and there would have never been, there would have never been a Golus, any exile, any diaspora, any Churban Beis Hamikdash, destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Because just as the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus could not have been reversed, so the going into Eretz Yisrael. But because it was interrupted, and it had to be brought now into two stages, the generation that went out died in the desert, and a new generation went in. So now it became two separate acts, the going out of Egypt, the coming into Eretz Yisrael. And no longer do we find that they came into Eretz Yisrael with such great miracles, at such a high level. Therefore, all of the tzoros that we suffer today basically is because of the Golus, because we are in exile. We are in exile because of the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, and that we were chased out of our land. So all of that can be linked to this episode. Because of this, it's very worthy to try to find out what was the cause, if the gravity of this was so great. The Gemara in Masechta Erechin, or the Mishnah, in Masechta Erechin and the Gemara, and the Tesvov states as follows. If someone slanders his wife, a person marries a new wife, and he claims that she committed adultery, and we find out that it's not true, he slandered her, Nesin Meyasela, the Torah penalized him by paying 100 sloim, a certain amount of money. If someone forcibly violated or seduced a woman, the penalty, a single woman, the penalty is 50 sloim. He has to pay 50. So the Mishnah says, Nimtzayim bepiv chomer min eisa maisa. We see that someone who merely made a statement, said words, the Torah was more severe with him than someone who actually did an act. From here we see that Lashon Hara, when it comes to slander with one's mouth, that's even a greater avera than an act that a person will do with his own hand. And we find that the decree that our father should die in the desert was only because of Lashon Hara, because of slander. Because Baruch Hu said that for 10 times you have challenged me, you have tested me, this is the last time. You will die in the desert, your children will inherit the land. And this episode was because of Dibas Oretz Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asks on that. Firstly, when someone slanders his new bride by saying she committed adultery, how do we know that the penalty is so severe because of what he said? He's also endangering her to the point where she might be guilty of the capital punishment. This is the Gemara asks. Now, because the Torah says, because Heitzi Shemra, he gave her a bad name. Al Shemra Sheheitzi. The penalty is for the bad name which he has given her. Then the Gemara says, and what's the proof? That because our father spoke Lashon Hara, that's why the penalty was decreed. Dilma Dakati Le Mola Sosin. Maybe it was that this just was the final straw. Because we have a klal, a principle that a Kodesh Baruch Hu only brings an Avera when the person has filled up the final straw. No. So the Gemara says no, because it says Venusia si ze eser pomim, ze eser pomim, al ze nishkat mkzadi. It says because of this episode was the decree. Not because of all the other Averas. Because of this Avera. Then the Gemara says, then one might think, maybe the reason why Lashon Hara was so severe is because they spoke Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. But regular Lashon Hara won't be so severe. The Gemara says just to the contrary. Omer Blazer ben Palto, bo rei kamogodl keyach Lashon Hara, mimaraglim uma meitzi shemar al eitzim vavonim kach, ameitzi shemar al chaver alachas kam vakamo. If someone says Lashon Hara on eitzim vavonim, on trees and on stone, and this is the penalty. So from here we learn that when a person says Lashon Hara slanders his fellow man, which is not trees and stone, so the penalty would be even greater. Then the Gemara asks, we find also that the Meraglim, the spies were guilty of other things also. They said, Ki chozok hu mimenu. We cannot conquer the land because it is too strong for us. Now mimenu can mean two things. It can mean us or him. So the Gemara says that they were really referring to Ki chozok hu mimenu, it's too strong for him. That even HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be able to conquer the land because there are so many powerful and mighty kings in the land. Now, that was kfira. That was atheism. So maybe this is the reason why they were punished so severely. The Gemara says no, because it states, Vayamusu Anoshi Meitzie Dibaso Oretz Ro, that the men who slandered Eretz Yisrael, who slandered the land, they were put to death. We see they were put to death because of the slander which they spoke. Torah tells us explicitly. So it was not because of other Averas. So all of this we learn from here. It was not because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. Had they spoken against people, the Gemara says the punishment would have been even more severe. It was not because they denied the power of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is atheism, which is kefir, which is a kefir b'ikar, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu said it's for slandering. And it's not because there were nine other Avedas that added to this, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu said on all the others, I was willing to forgive. It was on the Aveda of Meitzia Dibas Ro, of slander. So this episode, which brought these great tragedies to Klal Yisrael, which actually is the cause of all of our goliaths, all of our exiles, came from Lashon Hara. And this is something that we're talking about many times, and the commentaries all bring out. Several months ago, we gave a series of shurim on the various mitzvahs that one transgresses when he speaks Lashon Hara, besides the explicit mitzvah of Lashon Hara itself. The Chofetz Chaim, Zocheinu Livrocha, in his Sefer, lists that when a person slanders someone else, or he speaks negatively of him, he downgrades him, there's a possibility where he can transgress a total of 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and brings himself under a possible 4 arurim, curses of the Torah. And we gave a series of shurim going through these mitzvahs. We went through all of the negative mitzvahs, and we went through four of the positive mitzvahs. So I think that this evening, since our parsha is based on this aveira, that we'll continue that, and continue with the other mitzvahs essays. And this evening take another four mitzvahs. And it would be the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth mitzvah of the positive mitzvahs that the Chofetz Chaim makes mention in his psicha to his Sefer Chofetz Chaim. The first one, which would be mitzvah hey, the fifth mitzvah. Now this is relevant, incidentally, that when we mention the Aveda of Lashon Hara, this refers to the one who's saying the Lashon Hara and the one who's accepting it. If you listen to it and if you believe it, even believe it partially, then you are also a guilty party. And this refers to whether it's being spoken in front of the person, in front of the victim, or behind his back. And this refers to whether it's false or even if it's true. Now this particular mitzvah that we're going to speak on now, this refers to the listener, to the one who's accepting the Lashon Hara. If someone is speaking to you Lashon Hara, and this is found in Kedoshim Yutes, Vayikra Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Torah tells us, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall rebuke your brother, and you shall rebuke him in a manner, though, in which you do not publicly embarrass him or unduly hurt him. But you shall rebuke your fellow man. Now, it's a positive commandment in the Torah to rebuke your fellow man. What is that mitzvah? Well, this is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Rambam brings it in Perek Vov of Deyas Halacha Dalet. If you see another Jew is doing a sin, or he's walking in a way which is not good for him, mitzvah, it's a positive commandment, to help bring him back to do what's good. And to let him know that he's a chayter, that he's transgressing the mitzvahs of the Torah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it states, Hechiach techiach es amisecho, that you shall rebuke your fellow man. Hamechiach es chavere bein midvorim shebeinei leveinoi, bein midvorim shebeinei levein amokim tzorech leichicha beinei levein atzmei. When you do this though, you must do it in a way that you do not unduly hurt him. You should do it privately. You should speak to him kindly. And you should let him know that you're telling him this not merely because you want to criticize him, or not merely because you want to show that you're more righteous than he is. You're doing it for his good, in order that he should have an Eilam Abo, a world to come. Because a person who goes away from the Torah, Cholila, he can lose his world to come. Bechol she'efsher biyodei limchais ve'enei meicher. And whoever has the possibility to rebuke someone, and the person would listen, and he doesn't do it, who nitfas ba'oven elu. The end is that you yourself will be caught up in that same obstacle, in that same aveira, Kivan she'efshalei limchais behem, since you had the possibility of stopping someone else from doing an avera. So we see that there's a positive commandment on a Jew, where he's supposed to do everything in his power to stop another from doing averas, or help out another Jew from walking in the proper path. So Chofetz Chaim says, therefore, if somebody comes to you and he starts telling you lashon hara about someone, he's doing an avera. You are obligated to stop him immediately and to tell him what you are saying you're not allowed to. It's a terrible avera, and therefore you must be silent. If you don't do that, then you transgress this mitzvah. So here, people who engage in lashon hara, the listener will have another avera besides the avera of listening to lashon hara. The avera where he didn't stop the other person from doing this avera. And you must stop him immediately. It's not enough to think, I'll let him say his piece, and then I'll tell him that you shouldn't have said such a thing. You must stop him immediately. Some people think afterwards, I'll tell him. The Chofetz Chaim says, it's a great error. Why? He says, what happens if you see someone eating chazir? Someone's eating pig. And it's the type of fellow that will listen to you. So what are you going to say? That when he finishes the whole meal, then I'll come and tell him that he shouldn't have ate it. Shouldn't have eaten it. Every kezayis, every mouthful that he's eating is an avera. And you're obligated to stop him immediately. So the same thing, when someone speaks lashon hara, every word is another avera. You cannot say, I'll let him finish the whole story and then tell him. You must stop him immediately. Incidentally, this mitzvah that Rambam brings in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs Essay Reish Hei. Now, this only applies, though, if the person will listen to you. If it's the type of person that you can tell him, and you know that he will not listen under any circumstances. And that Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei Tes, Pasuk Ches. Al techach leitz, pen yisna echo. Do not rebuke a leitz. A leitz is a person who scoffs, who mocks, who ridicules, who insults. If a person is a leitz, and you know whatever you tell him, he'll reject it with both hands, and he'll mock, then there's no mitzvah to tell him. Al techach leitz, pen yisna echo. It's better not to tell him, because you only bring him to hate you even more. Hochach lechochom b'yeav echo. To receive rebuke takes a wise person. Shlomo HaMelech tells us. Takes wisdom to be able to hear criticism on oneself with a favorable ear. It takes wisdom. And therefore Shlomo HaMelech says, to the wise you must rebuke. Very important, very important. To be able to accept rebuke, that takes wisdom. Fools do not accept rebuke, even if it's given over in a proper manner. So therefore Shlomo HaMelech said, to a wise person you must rebuke. A fool, or someone who scoffs and mocks, don't do it. And this is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Masechet Yevamos. The Gemara brings, and of Samach Hei Amid Beis, Eloi Mishum Reb Lozer Ber Pshimin. Reb Eloi said in the name of Reb Lozer Ber Pshimin, Kishem Shemitzvah Lodem Leim Adover Anishma, just like it's a mitzvah. And a person who says something which is heard, which will be heeded, which will be listened to, Kach Mitzvah Lodem Shelei Leimar Dover She'en Anishma. So is it a mitzvah not to say something which will not be heeded to? If you know, Pete, you have listeners that will listen to what you say, they'll heed what you say, then it's a mitzvah to say it. If you know you have people that will not listen to what you say, even though what you say is true and is good, and it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, say, you shall not say it then. Do not say it. Now he said it's a mitzvah. See, it's no mitzvah to say, it's a mitzvah to keep quiet. Rabbi says, not only is it a mitzvah to keep quiet, mitzvah means it's good to keep quiet, but if you want, you can say it. Rabbi says, chaver, it's obligatory. That when you have people that you know will not listen, not only is it a mitzvah to keep silent, it's obligatory. You must not say it. Then they bring the pasuk which we quoted from Mishlei. Shneim al teichach leitz ben yisna echo eichach lechocha v'yaveko. That a fool you should not rebuke. You must rebuke a wise person. So therefore, this mitzvah of teichach of rebuke only refers to someone who you know that will listen to you. Now, many times we find ourselves in a position where we're with another person or people, and they're speaking Lashon Hara. And it's impossible. It's almost impossible. Not impossible. Nothing's impossible. But it's a little uncomfortable to leave. It's a social gathering or something. It's not. It wouldn't be of social graces to walk out. And to say something also would be very, very poor taste. Be very poor taste. It wouldn't be considered socially accepted at all. How can you insult someone else? They're fine people. So therefore we choose to be silent. In such a case, there's a famous statement from Ben Azai, who was one of the great rabbis of the Mishnah, Masechet Edyos. He says, Mutav shi yashayta bifnei habriyas kol yomai. I choose to be a fool in the eyes of the people all of my life than rather be a rosho, an evil person, 1 minute before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we cannot always take into consideration. It's not easy. But what we have to aim for is we cannot always take into consideration what we consider fine manners and fine social graces. Because if we look into it a little deeper, it's not fine manners and social graces to speak Lashon Hara against about someone else also. You could be at the finest home and the finest parties amongst the most eloquent and posh company. And if these people are supposed to be so much of the high echelon, elite of society, so then why are they involving themselves in Lashon Hara? That Shlaima HaMelech said that Achayim v'amoviz, amoviz v'achayim b'yar haloshon, that they are reitzchim, they are murderers, they are killing with their tongues. And if one of these people would stand up and start to stab someone with a knife, would you also say it's not fine social graces to say anything? See, so these are what the Gemara calls Cheshbeinu Shel Hevel. These are empty calculations. And by all means, our first obligation is to stop it. You say with due respect, excuse me. But I'm not accustomed to sit with people and gossip about other people, especially when they are destroying people's names with their tongues. If a person can't do that, then he should try to leave that group of people as quickly as possible. a person finds himself in a situation where it's just impossible to do either, then the Chofetz Chaim says that he must sit, but he must not believe one word that's said. If anything that is said will make an impression on him against the person that's being said, then he will be as guilty party as the others. And then there's one other calculation to take in, and that's what the Rambam writes, called Mi Shebiyode Limchais Veinemaya Nitfes Beise Oven. Whoever's in a situation where he can make a Meicho, where he can oppose what's being said, and he doesn't, because he feels he's more of a gentleman, or for whatever reason it is that he won't, then the safe is, eventually he will be caught up in the same Aveda. And this means, in very simple language, that many times someone comes over to you and he takes you into his confidence and he starts downriding and destroying another person's name. And for one reason or the other, you feel that you don't want to say anything. And you could have. You could have silenced him. You could have at least walked away. You feel you don't want to say anything. It's not right. You might hurt his feelings. Whatever it might be. So Anette Chazal tell us that you didn't stand up to protect someone else's name. So your name also then will be brought down to the ground. In general, one should always be on his guard. This is something that you find from the experience of life, that it's common to meet a person who starts praising you. He says, I like you because you're different. You're this way and you're this way. Not like that person, or not like that person, or not like this one. See, you're a different type of businessman. You deal honestly. I like the way you deal. You deal very efficiently. Not like so-and-so that I once had an episode with him and he took me for a ride and this one and so forth and so on. See? Or he'll come and he'll say that you're this type of professional and I like to deal with you and so forth. Not like that. Or you're this type of rabbi. Not like that one and so on and so on. And because he's heaping praise on you, so it's human nature that you're very honored. Especially here, this fellow is cutting down everyone else, and you, he's heaping praise on you, very honored. So you don't say anything. Life experience will tell you that someone who will speak Lashon Hara on others behind their back will do exactly the same to you behind your back. Exactly. So don't be taken in by it. If he's praising you to your face, but meanwhile burying everyone else, so the minute you turn around, he'll be doing the same thing to someone else. And this is the call also, they call me Shiyoch Limcha, is anyone who can make a Mechon, he doesn't, there's Nitfas Beisa of it. So that's the mitzvah of Echeach Techiach HaSamisecho. If one listens to Lashon Hara, besides the other mitzvahs, he transgresses, he's transgressing a positive commandment where he's obligated to stop another Jew from doing an Aveira. Another mitzvah, which is mitzvah vov, the sixth mitzvah's essay, and that's a posuk in Parshas Ekev. I can't seem to find exactly where that posuk is now. One minute. It's here in Parshas Ekev. The pasuk is as follows. Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, Eisei Taved, Uvoi Sidvak, Ubishmei Tishoveya. States that you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve Him, you shall cleave to Him, Ubishmei Tishoveya, and you shall swear by His name. The Gemara asked, what does it mean you shall cleave to Him? How is it possible to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara says, Lidovik b'chachomim v'talmideicha. You shall cleave to His wise and to the disciples. The Rambam brings this also in Reyes Perek Vov. Aloha Beis. Aloha Aleph, the Rambam tells us that environment is of crucial importance to a person. Derech b'yosei shalodem liyos nimshach b'deyosem maisem v'achareyov. It's human nature that a person is influenced by his friends. V'chaveyrov. V'nei k'minu gamshe medinosei. He's influenced by his friends and by his surroundings, by his community that he lives in. This is human nature. Therefore, a person has to make sure that he's in a good community, that he's in a good neighborhood, that he's in a good company. Now, the Chazal had a different idea of what a good community is than we might have, or what a good neighborhood is than what we might have. For example, today when people look for a good neighborhood, so they'll look for something which is geographically good and physically good, so forth. The sages held that was all secondary. Geography and physical environment, it's important, but that's all secondary. Prime concern is the neighborhood that you're moving into, who are the people that are living there? Who are going to be your neighbors? Is there going to be a shul close by? Is there going to be a good school for the children close by, a good Torah school? Is there going to be a yeshiva nearby? This is what the sages held that a person should be concerned in when they choose a neighborhood. Therefore, a person should always try to be in the company of the righteous and in the company of the wise. In order that he should learn from their deeds. And to go far away from the Rishoim who walk in darkness, in order that you should not learn from their ways. King Solomon said, those who walk with the wise will become wise, and those who walk with fools will become a fool. And Rabbi Amalek also said, Ashreish, happy is the person that he walks, does not walk in the way of the Chatoim, he doesn't sit amongst the Leitzim. So therefore the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh, it's a positive commandment, Lidovik b'chachomim v'talmidehem, that one should try to cleave to the wise and to their disciples in order to learn from their deeds, as it states in Beitivot. This is a positive commandment, one of the 613 commandments. That you shall cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this means you shall cleave to those who know Him. Is it possible for a person to cleave to Hashem? This is what it means. Cleave to those who know the Almighty, who study His ways. Now, how does one do this? Therefore, a person has to try. Firstly, that he should marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. This way he comes into a family of a Talmid Chacham. V'yisa v'yasi bita l'talmud chacham. Or, he marries off his daughter to a talmud chacham, to a learned person. Le'achol ishtesim talmidei chachamim. He should always try to eat together with the talmidei chachamim, to drink with them. L'asis pakamachi l'talmud chacham. He should try to do business for a talmud chacham. That way he'll be cleaving to him. U'lishchabelehem b'chol minei chibur. And to come close to them in every possible way. And so did our wise command, you shall sit in the dust of their feet and drink with thirst their words. This is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Now, the Chofetz Chaim says, if a person, where does this come to Lashon Hara? He says, if a person has the opportunity to be in a good crowd or to be in a bad crowd, and he chooses a bad crowd. For example, he says he comes to a chasana. He comes to a chasana, or he comes to a bar mitzvah or some type of party, and he's looking for a seat where he should sit. And there he sees a group of learned people sitting. And here he sees a group of leitzim sitting. He says, I'll go sit there, they're going to talk Torah the whole night. Say, let me find a seat over here, because here I'll hear what's new, and what's the latest in the community, and what's the latest machlekes in the community, and what's the latest politics in the community. See? Yeah, this is what the Chofetz Chaim says. So the person goes over there, and he hears Lashon Hara. So besides transgressing Lashon Hara, he'll be mevatel this mitzvah's essay. He'll transgress this positive commandment of Beis Yidlok, of cleaving to the Talmidei Chachamim. The Torah said a positive commandment, go sit with the learned in order that you should hear Divrei Elokim Chaim, the words of the live HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of the Rishoyim who will give you where you'll be doing Averis. And this person, the Dafka, went, he says, there it'll be more interesting. It'll be a more interesting evening. Or if a person has a chance to go to a place where there'll be Chachomim, or to go to another place where there'll be, and he chooses the other place. Or he gives another example. He says, in shul, you come into shul, and you see a group of people learning, and another group of people sitting and talking. Or, he says, like many times after Shalashudis, Shabbos afternoon, in the summer, when it's a long day, finish Shalashudis, and it's not time for Marav yet. So the people break up into various crowds. He says, some go and they learn, others sit and talk. Now you're wondering, what should you do? Why should you go and sit with those who are learning? It'll be more interesting to sit down with those who are talking. So you leave Divrei Elokim Chayim, you leave discussions of Torah, to go sit with the Chevra. Well, there it'll be more interesting because they'll bring you up to date on what's doing in the community and so forth. He says, then you mevatel this mitzvah min haTorah. You have to address the mitzvah min haTorah or Beis Yidlok, where there's a positive commandment to cleave to the Chachomim and to the Talmidim, you know, because this will bring you closer, this will bring you to cleave with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This mitzvah this mitzvah is a very important mitzvah, because the power of an influence of environment and of friends is tremendous. And how many times we see, and I know myself from many, many cases of people that have come to me, that people who happen to get into the right crowd or moved into a good place went from strength to strength. Other people who happen to get into the wrong crowd or move into a community that's not good for them went mato mato, down, down. I know many examples, many, many examples of people who happen to buy a home next to a shul or near a shul. They weren't necessarily shul type of Jews. They come just once in a while. They're near a shul, they decided they'll drop in. I meet people. People who come to shul Shachris Mincha Marav every day. For years. They'll tell you why, because one day I had a home and it was next to a shul, or a block away from a shul, I decided to come in. And I came in and I got used to it. And therefore, for now, for the last 25 years, I come to shul every day. The Chazal list off of how many mitzvahs a person can fulfill in a shul. With davening, and with kriyas hatorah, and with every amen, and every yeshmei rabo, and with the learning, and with kedusha. There's calculations made that in a course of a month there can be hundreds and hundreds of mitzvahs. For every mitzvah, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Nemon L'Shalem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can trust me. You can trust me more than you can entrust the banks and the insurance companies. I am Nemon L'Shalem. If I say that I will pay. Now this man happened to rock up into shul because it was next door to him or a block away. When he comes to the next world, he's going to find there a world to come. A cheshbon of thousands and thousands of mitzvahs. Then, I personally have had many, many cases of people who come and they, I'm in public positions, and they come and they talk and they ask advice and so forth. A guy gets a little money. He's decided, I can afford a better neighborhood. I can afford to live a little better. Where is he moving? He's moving out there. I asked him, what will you do for a shul? Oh, don't worry, I'll manage. I'll come the same way. I'll manage. What will you do about shurim? No, I'll manage. And your kids to school? No, it won't affect me. And I know the story. Little while later, you don't see him in shul anymore. Listen, it's a long way to travel. You don't see him at shurim anymore, you know, it's a long way. It's a long bus ride for the kids. So instead of going to a Torah school or a day school, you have a different school for them. We're talking here now of hundreds and hundreds of mitzvahs. We're talking here of generations. What's going to be with his children? Because he didn't listen to the Chazal. Good neighborhoods or not good neighborhoods or good communities or good friends. The first criteria, the first principle, are they people that will bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the first criteria of a neighborhood. How many people we know from all over, in America and other places, they happened to be near a yeshiva. So they came to the yeshiva. They learned. They weren't near a yeshiva. They didn't come. This is a mitzvah that has far, far reaching effects. Far-reaching effects. And in regards to Lashon Hara, so it's another mitzvah that a person can transgress when he speaks or listens to Lashon Hara. Now, the third mitzvah that we're speaking about this evening, which is the seventh of the mitzvah's essays, this is in Kedoshim Yutes Lamed. It should be. In Kedoshim, Kedoshim
Kedoshim Yutes Vayikra Yutes Lamed Eshabseisai Tishmeru Umigdoshi Tirou. You shall guard my Shabbos, you shall fear my Migdosh, my sanctuary, and I Hashem, I am God. Chofetz Chaim brings from the Sefer Yireim Simin Shin Chof Dalet, and from the Smag the Sefer Mitzvahs Agodol, and the Smag the Sefer Mitzvahs Kot, that this positive commandment that you shall fear my sanctuary, which refers to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, min HaTorah, according to the Torah, it also refers to a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. It also refers to a shul or a house of learning. Min HaTorah. This is the opinion of the Yireim, of these Rishonim, the Yireim, the Smag, and the Smag. This means that when one comes into a shul, or one comes into a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaMedrash, the Gemara tells us, is Kedusha Geveya in Beis HaKnesses. You can take a shul, and if it still can be used as a shul, you're not allowed to use it for anything else, except for a Beis HaMedrash, a yeshiva. A shul is a place which is set aside for davening. And the Beis HaMedrash is a place which is set aside for studying of Torah. A shul cannot be used for anything else, as long as it can still be used for a shul, with the exception for a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaMedrash that is being used as a Beis HaMedrash cannot be used for anything else, even a shul. Because the Kedusha of a Beis HaMedrash, the sanctity of a Beis HaMedrash, is greater than that of a shul. If it's a place where you both daven and learn in, like many shuls, or like many bote midrashim, you both learn and daven, then it has both kedushas. It has a kedusha based on Knesset and based on Medrash. It has a double sanctity. Now, one is obligated to have great fear and respect. Min HaTorah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's based on Migdosh, and included in that is a Beis HaKnesses, a place which is set aside for davening, and a Beis HaMedrash, a place which is set aside for learning. Therefore, it's brought many halachas that what we're not allowed to do in a shul or in a yeshiva. You have to be very careful. You have to have respect or fear. Why? Because Vishwakanti, Miseichel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. This is his dwelling place. It's therefore brought in the Shas, in the Peskim, that you're not allowed even to speak in a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, Sicha B'Teila, unnecessary talk. All your talking should be only in Divrei Teira, Divrei Tfila, Divrei Mitzvahs. Brought that if you want to speak something else, then go out. You must go out. So far the halacha goes that it's brought that if somebody starts coughing and you want to tell him what to do for it, you tell him, come out into the passage, I'll tell you what to do for it. See, this is how far the halacha goes. This is the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. In a Beis HaKnesses, one is not allowed to eat, one is not allowed to drink, one is not allowed to sleep. That's why in your shuls, they build a separate place for the brocha. See, the place that's used for davening, that says Kiddush's Beis HaKnesses. So they make another room, or another area, for the brocha, where to eat. In a Beis HaMedrash, those who sit and learn the whole day, it says, Bikushi hitiruhu. With great reluctance, they permitted them to eat and drink. Because since they're there the whole day, and especially in the days of the Chazal, many times it was just one building, it was one room in one building, and that was it. So if they couldn't eat and drink there, and they were studying the entire day, so this meant that they had to go out, they had to go to another place, or go home. So it came to be a great beetle tater, It disturbed the learning. Therefore, it states, Bikushi hitiruhu. They permitted for those who study the entire day that they can eat in the Beis HaMedrash and they can drink and they can rest a little. But even then, it states with great reluctance. So they should not, those who study the entire day, should not overexploit this privilege that was given to them. Now, Chofetz Chaim says, this means, now this is all halachas that were quoted. This means that if someone is speaking, even speaks unnecessary conversation, this is considered desecrating the sanctity of the shul or of the Beis HaMedrash. If someone speaks isurim, if someone speaks not unnecessary conversation which is prohibited, Lashon Hara, in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash, there cannot be a greater desecration to the sanctity than that. And therefore, people who speak Lashon Hara, he says, unfortunately you find that they speak the Lashon Hara in shul too. They have been mevatel, they transgress the positive kemitzvah of umigdoshi tiro'u, that you shall fear my Beis HaMikdosh. And this would be a bitul mitzvah min HaTorah. Chofetz Chaim goes one step further. He says this is even greater than a desecration. Why? A person who blatantly speaks Lashon Hara in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash, this already borders on a total affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A total lack of emunah, lack of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Why is a Beis HaMedrash Kodesh? Why is a Beis HaKnesses Kodesh? Especially with the Pasuk Umikdoshi Tirohu Yushafir for my Mikdosh. What was the whole Yichus of the Mikdosh? The big Yichus of the Mikdosh was, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sheikhin there. It was called Mishkon because of Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. This is the Paltan Shel Melech. This is the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that one comes into a shul, he's coming into Beisi, my house. Beisi, Beis Tefillah L'chol Amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my house is a house of Tefillah for everyone, all of the nations. It's my house. You come into a yeshiva, it's even more so. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela B'Dala Rama Shel Aloha B'Levad. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he's in the Dala Rama Shel Aloha, where the Torah is being studied. So if we believe in the Torah, this means we believe that when we come into a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, we're coming into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. He says, what would happen if a person comes into the king's palace? And the king had made a prohibition, very clear, that this is something that he will not tolerate. He does not want any of his subjects to become involved in it. Right, if somebody transgresses the prohibition far away from the capital, far away from the palace, far away from the king, that's one thing. But if somebody comes right, he sits right down next to the king, and in front of him, he blatantly transgresses his prohibition. He says, not only is this a desecration to the palace, this is a affront. This is a kfira, this is a denial to the king's power. See, you have people come into shul, they come into a Beis HaMedrash, and they sit and talk Lashon Hara. He says, Ein lecho bizein gedei lemizu, can there be a greater disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And on the one who listens, he's also disgraced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to stand up for the honor of the king, and here you're listening. He says, Ein lecho bizein gedei lemizu. What kind of disgrace this is? So therefore, people who speak Lashon Hara in such places also are mevatel this mitzvah. Then he goes on to say, he says, al avera gereres avera. We see that one avera brings with it another. He says, what's very common, he writes, is you have people that come to shul and they start talking to each other, which Bechlal, he says, is a tremendous avera, that they're talking in a shul that is not divrei kedusha. And while they're talking to each other, many times they're talking even Lashon Hara. One man is telling another man a story, which is Lashon Hara, which he said is the greatest disgrace. Then the Balkeirei starts to lane. So he says, you see it all the time, and as we see, the Balkeirei is laning, but meanwhile I want to finish my story. So he continues to say the story, even though the Balkeirei is laning. Now here the Balkeirei is laning for the Sefer Torah of the Divrei Elokim Chayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and this one is sitting and saying Lashon Hara. Not only that, but he's not hearing the Kriyas HaTorah. Not only that, but he disturbs others from hearing the Kriyas HaTorah. And he writes that you miss one word or one sentence, or you disturb others from missing one word or one sentence of the Sefer Torah. That's a bitul mitzvah. You have missed out on the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah there. Then, he says many times, the ones who are talking, many times is a choshuv person, a very choshuv person, very important person, and he sits up front. He's a choshuv balabos, or he says even worse yet, he could be a Talmud Chacham, and he's sitting up front. So he says, you know what that becomes? That becomes a chila Hashem Barabim. He's disgracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Barabim. Why? Because everybody sees that here's a choshuv balabos who's sitting up front, and he's talking in shul during the davening or during the Kriyas HaTorah. It's a chila Hashem Barabim, where you're desecrating Hashem's name publicly. And this is, he's not taking isolated cases. These are things that happen all the time. And that's an avera, one of the most severest averas in the Torah. Then comes, instead of answering, the Chazal tell us what the great mitzvah is to answer Amen. And it says it's even an avera to answer Amen late. An Amen Yisoma. If you answer Amen late, that's an avera. Here the person is talking and they're not answering Amen at all. Comes Yehesh Mei Rabba, comes the Kaddish, when everybody should be saying Yehesh Mei Rabba. And what the Chazal tell us about the Yehesh Mei Rabba, that's one of the greatest praises that we have. And this person doesn't listen to the Kaddish, doesn't say Yehesh Mei Rabba. He says, you see how Avera Geirer is Avera. Because this person can't keep his mouth shut, and he's got to talk, and he's got to talk in shul, and he's got to talk while they're davening or while they're laning, comes one Avera after another Avera after another Avera. Especially, he says, especially if he's a choshev person. Many times you see people are talking in shul, and the Balkeirei is trying to lane, or the person is trying to daven. One thing you can be sure of, and they're talking like they have something very important to say. One thing you can be sure of, no matter how important what they have to say, it's not as important as what the Balkeirei has to say. Or it's not as important as what the Shliach Tzibur has to say. That's for sure. Then he also mentioned, many times this takes place on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, it's a great avera to say Lashon Hara. Because Shabbos, the person has to be even more careful. It states on Shabbos, v'daber dover, that a person should be careful how he talks on Shabbos. It shouldn't be the way he talks during the week. Shabbos was a kedusha of the Zman. Just like this Kedushas HaMokom, a sanctity of a place, there was a sanctity of a time. That's also like a Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara tells us that the Gemara brings even an Amoritz, an ignorant, a person who is ignorant in the ways of Torah. The Gemara brings that if he told you something on Shabbos, you could believe him. Because an Amoritz had fear to lie on Shabbos. An ignorant person who was ignorant in the ways of Torah, still he had a fear to say a lie on Shabbos. Shabbos yet. The Vilna Gaon used to only speak Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos. During the week he spoke Yiddish. When he came on Shabbos, he would only speak Lashon HaKodesh on the Hebrew, in order that his speech should be different and more Kodesh, more careful. So many times on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's even a greater Aveira. Now from here we can learn a few things. First of all, we learn, very important, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash, because it's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives and is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that how we're supposed to be mechanech children. It's brought that it's an obligation on a father that he must teach his children how to respect a shul or how to respect a Beis HaMedrash. Otherwise, not only are they desecrating the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses, but he is teaching them that they may. Not only is not fulfilling the mitzvah of chinuch, of teaching them, but he's teaching them the wrong way. That's one thing we must learn. A second thing we learn, and this is very important, when we go to places, to certain places, and in certain times, we must act differently. The Gemara says, "Ein adam mi shechaita bepalten shel melech, lemi shechaita shelei bepalten shel melech." You cannot compare when one sins in the palace of the king than when one sins outside of the palace of the king. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is speaking about here. A person can act one way outside of shul, but when he comes into shul or into a yeshiva, then it states, "Migdoshi tiro'u, you must fear my migdosh." He has to act differently. Now this also refers, and unfortunately people do not seem to be aware of this, this also refers to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael palton shel melechi. Eretz Yisrael is the palace of the king. Yushalayim palton shel melech. Yushalayim, that's the city of the king. It's very unfortunate if people feel that they can go to Eretz Yisrael and live there the same way that they live outside of Eretz Yisrael. That would be the same thing as people thinking that I can act in a shul just like I act outside of a shul. The Gemara says, "Ein adema mi shechete bepalton shel melech lemi shechete chutz bepalton shel melech." You cannot compare a person who sins in the palace of the king to a person who sins far away from the palace of the king. A person goes to Eretz Yisrael, it has to be an aliyah. He's an Eretz Yisrael, he has to act differently. He'll say, "But this is in South Africa and America, I didn't act this way." That's all right. It's all right, that's not Palton Shel Melech. That's not the palace of the king. Yerushalayim, you have to act differently. How careful one must be, for example, from speaking Lashon Hara in Eretz Yisrael, from speaking Lashon Hara in Yerushalayim. And if a person cannot act differently, people don't like to hear this. But if he cannot act differently, then maybe better he shouldn't go. What happens if a person says, "Listen, I'm a Wilde Chaya, and when I come into shul, I can be a Wilde Chaya also, so don't come in then." you can't act properly. You cannot live differently in Eretz Yisrael. So who says it's a mitzvah to go? One of the Balei Teisvos, was Rabbi Nechaim, wrote, he says, if you do not know how to fulfill all mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, then better don't go. To go to Eretz Yisrael to do Averus, better to do the Averus outside of Eretz Yisrael than in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it's a great, great responsibility that a person takes. The person goes to Eretz Yisrael, he must realize he goes with responsibility. And this responsibility will be demanded from him. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're coming to my palton, you're coming to my palace. And the same thing with a shul. If a person feels that he cannot act properly in a shul, don't stay in a shul too long. The best thing is to go to a shul and act properly. Go to Eretz Yisrael and act properly. Act better there than here. But if you can't, the Gaon instructed his daughters. The Vilna Gaon instructed his daughters. He said, don't go to shul. Daven at home. Because you'll come to shul, you'll get involved in speaking during davening, in speaking Lashon Hara, in midos of kino, you'll see what other people are dressed in, and you'll start to chemde, you'll start to envy. This is for this you need shul for. He said, then it's a bigger mitzvah to stay home and daven at home. This is what the goal, and based on this, he was telling his daughters to stay home. So this is something else that we learn. It's no mitzvah whatsoever to come into a shul or to come into a beis hamedrash to desecrate it. That's no mitzvah. That's for sure. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says, "So someone who's speaking Lashon Hara yet in a shul, so also he's mevatel this mitzvah." I was going to go into one further mitzvah, but I'm afraid the time does not allow us this evening. And that would have been the eighth mitzvah. Also a very, very interesting mitzvah. So we'll have to hold this for another time when perhaps we can continue this series and go through some of these mitzvahs again. So this evening we discussed three mitzvahs, positive commandments that one can possibly transgress when speaking or listening to Lashon Hara. The first one was that when you hear someone speak Lashon Hara to you, or you're standing by, you're obligated to silence him and to rebuke him. But if you don't, if it's possible, and if you don't, then you transgress that mitzvah. A second one, a basic book, that you're obligated to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, how do you cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By cleaving to those who know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always try to bring yourself into company of Talmidei Chachomim, of Balei Torah, of righteous people. So therefore, if you have that opportunity, you come to a chasana, you come to some other type of celebration, or in shul, and instead of going to a table where there's such people, you choose to go rather where there would be more interesting people, perhaps, that you would think, that could tell you something of what's going on in the community of Lashon Hara and so forth. So you have transgressed, and if you get involved in Lashon Hara at that table, you not only have transgressed that Aveira, but also the Aveira of Beis Yivak. And then Umigdoshi Tirohu, that if one speaks Lashon Hara in a Mokum HaKodesh, in a sanctified place, a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, so not only has he transgressed Lashon Hara, but also desecrated the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash, which is built on the Pasuk Mikdoshi Tirohu. We should all be Zeicher to study and to learn and to grow from these mitzvahs and in regards to this great aveda of Loshon Hara, which caused this great calamity of the Meraglim, and we should see b'mheira that the diminishing of the slander in Klal Yisrael, and again the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.